I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is More The Players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast extra. It's where we deep dive into a particular game or topic. Today, we are reviewing Astrobot. So first of all, big thank you to the team over at PlayStation Australia for providing us the review code for Astrobot. The latest from Team Asobi. Max, where do you want to begin? Where do you want to go?
I don't know. Where's a good starting place? Should we start with Playroom and how we got to here?
Let's talk about how we got to here. Get some background.
So anyone who owns a PS5 obviously knows that Astro's Playroom is a delightfully charming, packed-in game that everyone gets. It's this delightful little puzzle platformer. This wasn't Astro's first soiree. He was originally a PSVR title, so not many people got to spend some time with him. And then they kind of packaged it in with the PS5 as kind of like a tech demo to show off all the new features of the DualSense controller. And they realized that it was so damn charming, so damn popular, that they're like, let's get them full price, baby.
And so, but not just let's make it full price. Let's take everything that you loved about Astrobot, whether it be Rescue Mission or Playroom, and just amplify it to a full scale title.
They cranked it to 11.
Absolutely. So we'll get some of those things in. So we've got 50 levels to mess about in, 300 robots to collect, bunch of puzzle pieces. They have really taken every part of what was the beginnings of Astrobot, as I scratch my back, lifting it into like a bigger sort of space, giving it a lot more room to breathe. So I think
just before you get too far, the 300 bots is a cool number, but we should point out that 150 of those are nostalgic PlayStation themed or PlayStation adjacent bots.
Yeah. Now, for like, just letting you guys know now, for spoilers, we will not be discussing any of those bots unless they have been seen in trailers, etc. We won't touch them because the best part of this game... The launch
trailer was so spoilery.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing, by the way, because I watched the trailer. There's a little doco on the PlayStation Australia YouTube channel as well, and I was watching. I'm like, there's a lot of clips in here from the late game, but like, it's very similar to Death Stranding. Without context, these clips mean nothing. So yeah, so we're not going to touch upon too many of them, apart from just a couple of the key ones that are in those trailers that aren't going to lead to massive spoilers. Mostly because the best part of Astrobot, as it was with Playroom, here is the nostalgia. So Max, before we dive into the little itty bitty bits, what are your overall thoughts about Astrobot?
That it is an absolutely charming little puzzle platformer that is not so difficult that children can't enjoy it, because I was playing it with my 4-year-old daughter, but not so easy that it doesn't present challenges to adults, because there were some levels that took me some time to get through.
Oh yes.
But you know, at its core, it is this cute, whimsical puzzle platformer that, you know, very low stakes. Like there's checkpoints. If there are enemies, there is light combat, but there's no punishment for getting hit. You're like, oh no, you go back a little bit. It's such a light-hearted game that is just fun to play. And as we mentioned, with its close ties to PlayStation, you get those nostalgic beats of like, hey, I remember that character. I remember when I saw them for the first time. And then each level is kind of themed to a certain genre of character types as well. So you can kind of, you know, I found myself guessing, like, oh, I wonder if I'm going to find this person next. I wonder if this is the person that they picked from this particular title or so on. And then as you collect your army of bots, the world itself opens up, because there's like, as you mentioned, that there's 50 levels, but there's X amount of hub worlds, and then there's the base station itself. And then as you progress through, and as you save all these, as you rescue all these bots, everything else opens up to you, and you find all these new hidden things. I think the best way to describe it, and is I found myself thinking that this plays like a 3D Mario game.
Yeah.
Super Mario Galaxy comes to mind just from the space theme itself, but it really is something that PlayStation don't do often. It's not a third person over the shoulder adventure game, and it's just like I said, it's so fun to. I had such a blast playing it. They have changed it a little bit from what Astro's Playroom was. I found that there were small just movement changes. There were a few things that you could do in Astro's Playroom that you couldn't do here, which took a little bit of adjusting to. For instance, especially with Playroom having a lot of the time trial based maps, you had forward momentum when you were attacking. You don't have that here. There's no real. You can float a little bit if you spin jump in the air, but there's no thrusting forwards. But at its core, like I said, it's definitely that whimsical, lighthearted puzzle platformer. It's not too difficult. It kind of it doesn't overstay its welcome. It's a tight. I think I took about 20 hours to get the platinum on it. And it's just absolutely fantastic. It's so nice to see. Tim Asobi back for this after what was the hit of Playroom.
Yeah, a lot of my sentiments do align with you. So from where I sit, I would actively... Astrobot is the perfect family game. Mm. It is fun. It's charming. It's it has easy approach, but it's challenging if you want it to be. As similar to yourself, I spent a big hunk of my time playing with my son. He's 7, right? So he had the same thing. So he was able to get it, understand it. Certain levels have little gimmicks, whether they be little, essentially little weapons, little extras. He was able to grab onto them quickly, understand their mechanics, and achieve most of the game. Like, so we had one minor difference compared to Playroom into Astrobot, 3 save slots, big win. So I had one, he had another, which then allowed him to sort of have his own run at it while I had my own. Yeah, and he was able to achieve like a good, you know, third before he had to go back to his mum's. So yeah, it's charming. But what I love about it and why I think it's an incredible family game is, aside from its everything that I've mentioned, its approachability, etc., it nails this cross-generational feeling, right? And I say not generation as in console generation as in people generation. So I myself, being a PlayStation fan so much so it's tattooed on my arm, and we run a weekly PlayStation show about it, right? Like...
It covers everyone from boomers to zoomers.
Exactly, right? Like, I get to sit here and enjoy all these little references, all the fun of it, while my son gets to experience that for the first time. And we also get to share it as I explain to him who these characters are. And he's like, oh, I like that one. So, you know, who knows? Prapper the Rapper might be in our future. It won't be, but it could be. But
it won't be.
You know, and... The Rapper. Because even... Like, I know I'm kind of derailing. We'll come back to my bigger thoughts in a moment, but I'll keep it short and simple. Like, for that reason, I think the game is exceptional, right? It nails the ability for me as a long-term PlayStation fan to enjoy it, play it, and have a great time, while also introduce my son to a world of PlayStation and a world of a franchise that means so much to me. That, like, we get to connect on that, and he gets to play a game that is accessible enough for him that he can still enjoy it and have a really good time and not get, yeah, as you said, frustrated, overwhelmed, etc. This is PlayStation's answer to Mario. It nails it in terms of the world, you know, their ability to combine so many IPs together in a really coherent fashion where no one feels out of place. Like, there's no bot that you go, why are you here? Like, every bot has an importance to the legacy of the 30-year legacy of PlayStation, while also on top of having that fit stylistically. One of the challenges that you find with these multiverse games, whether it be games like Multiverses or even, you know, obviously the big one being Fortnite, the giant fever dream that it is, there are times where stylistically, or a design language or whatever, they clash with each other. Like, you've got Goku who's super cel-shaded, and then you've got, like, you know, Keanu Reeves, John Wick, who looks super realistic comparatively. Like, there is this juxtaposition, there's like this dichotomy between the two that clash. Where here, when Astro Bot, every character works. Like, whether, you know, you've seen the trailer, whether it be Aloy, Nathan Drake, Kratos, you know, Prapper, like, Ape Escape, Spike from Ape Escape, like, it all fits, and it's all magical. I love it. I genuinely love this game, and we're probably going to talk a little bit more in deep about it now, still no spoilers, but it's my game of the year. Like, unless something big is going to happen for this to not be my game of the year. Now, I understand that why I would make that stance is based on the emotion of enjoying it with my son and the emotion to, and like, of my connection to PlayStation as a brand. But I enjoyed all of this. Even when there were levels that just kicked my absolute ass in, I still adored this title. All right, Max, let's get into the nitty and gritty, right? Let's break down into its parts. As we mentioned, there are 50 levels. The idea is we're in space once again. You've got six sort of hubs, and each of them have a series of levels within them, which allows for quite a diverse range in themes. So we've got, obviously, you know, your jungles, you've got your spookies, you've got your underwater, you've got your beach. You know, very similar to what we saw in Astro Bot's playroom and rescue mission as well. How did you feel about the level design and the sort of the scope at which they went with here?
Yeah, the level design was really cool. Like you said, there's a lot of different biomes to kind of traverse through, which is cool. Each level is different, unique. Some may share gimmicks. like you mentioned, the spooky levels. One of the things that they have, one of the mechanics they have in the spooky levels are disappearing platforms. And how you work around that is a really cool mechanic. And you see that get used or repeated across multiple levels, but it's still set up in a way that each level, despite having a similar theme, does play out completely differently, and you have to tackle it in a completely different way to find all the things. Because obviously, the levels themselves are quite linear, but there is enough to just go enough off the beaten path that things will be hidden if you stick too closely to the path. So there's enough to explore to be like, hey, I didn't see that this time. And you kind of, as you play through the levels multiple times, once you've gone through it, you can go back if you missed puzzle pieces or some of the bots, because as you fly into a level, it shows you how many bots there are going to be. It tells you which ones are flagged as PlayStation icons. And you kind of use that I found myself using it as kind of like a tracker of, I got bot
where
number
am I
one
at
and
in
then
this
got,
level?
And then I got bot number three. It's like, hey, I've missed something between here and here. And you can kind of backtrack. And well, assuming you're not playing with a child who wants to just go to the next new thing, you can go backwards and kind of find what you needed to find. But I think it had more. It definitely has more variety than what Playroom had. But like it has obviously the same art style as what Playroom had. But they're these beautiful, vibrant colors everywhere, and how it ties in to. So I played the majority of this game. Normally, when I play games, I play with headphones on. But because I played most of this game with my daughter, we had the sound coming through my monitor. But what's weird is most of the sound effects come through the controller when you're playing with TV sound.
I want to go thoroughly about sound design. So like, let's talk levels and then we'll get into sound because I got a whole bunch of things.
I'll get back to them. But yeah, level wise, there's enough variety that you don't get bored kind of playing through what feel like the same biomes, but they are different enough, even though there are like reused assets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's fine. It is to be expected. It's not like no puzzle platformer has ever done that before. You know, Crash Bandicoot has its themed levels. Mario had its themed levels. It is the norm, but they are different enough in those biomes that it doesn't get stale.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because like that was one of the things that I guess would have been an accidental, like a point of concern or a point of intrigue when how would they flesh out what they established in Playroom to such a larger scale? Because when they mentioned, you know, X amount of worlds, as I said, 50 worlds, you go, okay, well, how many times can they reskin the same thing? And yeah, as I said, they do clearly have like the five or six that they pull from, and then they cut them in different ways to deliver it. But what I was trying to think of a way to explain the level design in a way that kind of like it just, I couldn't find the words. And while watching the little behind the scenes doco this afternoon, the gameplay designer mentioned that it was rhythmic, like music. And I went, that's it. And I couldn't explain it a better way. So like every time you approach a level, especially if it's one that I had done a handful of times because I kept kicking my butt in, like I find myself hitting these particular beats, right? And like it's almost like replicating the same run every time. Like it's that then up here, jump, laser, yep, cool. And like once you find that rhythm, you find that path, that momentum, like it becomes almost like a second nature, right? Like, which demonstrates that there's its smoothness, its intuitiveness in how the levels are designed. I never felt cheated. Like, even when it was really, really hard, I never felt cheated. I always felt that if I made a mistake, if I died, I was the stumble. I understand, you know, that's something that's pretty standard when it comes to difficulty curves, especially in the world of like Soulsborne, which are games that you're very familiar with. Where comparatively, I find those games very unforgiving and very unfair. Where here, even that level that in the one particular level, like one of the final levels that just decimated me really hard, I kept doing it because every time I was like, I need to get this. I need to master this. So like I'm looking at the level, trying to read it, trying to find the best possible optimum path. And by doing so, as you said, you find little, little secrets, little trinkets in the world, like whether it be bots or the possibilities, or even just references, just little things here and there. And like this is something that is addressed in the trailers. So there are sort of like, very similar to Deadpool and Wolverine's, like, what were they called? The anchor beings. Astrobot does have, I think you referred to them before, it's the PlayStation icons, right? There were each of these biomes have a key individual that is representative of that, of like the overall theme, and they're all like legacy PlayStation individuals. And those levels that are themed around a particular character are beautiful. Not just visually, but from an understanding, like granted they're all first party games, but they're referencing, but it's understanding of those characters, of their worlds, of their nuances, their ability to capture properties in these world designs is just ridiculous. Now, and once again, very, very aware that I'm looking at it with a rose-tinted glass with a nostalgia because I just love the branding so much. But yeah, I genuinely love it. Like we were discussing in our chat, you love these levels particularly because they just sing to you more. Like they're more platformy, so they're a bit more fun. Or I quite like this with the swooping sort of, you know, the jungly ones, which we see very similar to like Playroom. But one thing, as you mentioned, we'll transition out of level into music, into sound design. So you mentioned that, you know, as you play the game, there is obviously volume through the TV speakers or soundbar, whatever you're using. But very similar to the Playroom, where this takes control and really delivers how the controller works, is that you got sounds coming out of it. And so its ability to use the haptics as well as the speaker, the little tinky, tinky, tink of like Astrobot's feet as you run across surfaces. The sound design is immaculate. But what is even better, because it was already insane in Playroom, is the soundtrack. We were very kindly provided the deluxe edition, which was the game plus the soundtrack and art, digital art book. I don't normally download the extra parts. I'm like, eh, whatever. As I'm playing this, I did it. I went, and I downloaded that soundtrack immediately, because I had to go back, because there's this one particular song. The first time I see it is in this sort of underground world where there's these big mushrooms, and these mushrooms like dancing, and it's real kind of laid back and chill. And it hit my brain. It got lodged in there deeply, and it was there for days. And then later on, when we get into the themed worlds, like their ability to mash up the soundtrack or the energy and the feeling of Astrobot, but then also combining the themes of those icon characters, it's perfection. Like, it is literal perfection. For myself, Max, you started talking about the sound and then I got all excited.
Yeah, so from what I recall, essentially the background music plays through the TV speaker, but every other sound effect is coming through the controller.
Pretty much, yeah.
And like, obviously, like I mentioned, I was playing this with my daughter, and she's like, "Oh, Dad, what's that tinking sound?"
Mm.
She's like, "Why does the controller feel funny?" I'm like, "It's because it's raining. You can feel the rain on the, you can feel the raindrops hitting Astrobot." She's like, "Oh, that's cool." And then she realized that as Astro runs, you hear that ting, 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 ting. Mm. And she's like, "Oh, that's what that is." And she got a real kick out of it, because she's like, up until now, all she's played is Paw Patrol, and they've got fucking garbage. They don't have any dual sense support whatsoever. So, that was a whole new experience for her. And she, see her face light up as she comes to realize that all of these things are happening. She could feel it as it happens. It was really cool. Because I had the same dumb expression on my face when I played Astro's Playroom for the first time. And I'm like, this is rad. Like, it really does give a whole new level of immersion to what you're doing, which makes it so much more enjoyable. And it's those little things that they didn't need to do, but they have, and it really has elevated the experience.
Absolutely. So I did just do a quick Google search then, just to make sure I got his name right. So Kenneth C.M. Young is the name of the composer for Astrobot. Now, he does have history with Little Big Planet, but one of the things that I'd noticed, as I'm scrolling through that soundtrack, his ability to cross so many genres. There's good hip hop. There's some pretty gnarly metal in there as well. Like when you get into sort of the volcanic levels, just and it all fits. And then there's lovely sprinkly sort of poppy sort of feels in others. It's fantastic. And then the way that syncs with the sound design of your controller, etc., all these little moments, it's just this seamlessly beautiful amalgamation of amazing. It's really tough, because I want to talk, because obviously the game doesn't really have a story per se, so it's not like we can say, bless you.
I think it's just one.
Oh, cool. So it's not really a story per se. Very similar to Playroom. It's through the levels, fight big green space alien.
There is a story.
Yeah,
there is a story.
I mean, in terms of there's big alien. He has parts of your ship. Your ship is the PS5. Got to go get the CPU, the cooling, and whatever. Bring it all together. Literally out of the thing.
Yeah.
In terms of the story, so one of the big differences that you will find comparative to Playroom is that Playroom, they've switched out, so Playroom to Astrobot, they switched out the cool PlayStation collectibles in terms of the controllers, the consoles, the accessories, whatever, and swapped them for the bots. So, like, there were cool bots in the previous game, but they, you know, you saw a lot of them in the world. So, like, you know, if you, in the first level, which you go down on the slide into the sand, you see Kratos and Atreus in their little boat. You know, you see little references over there. You see Until Dawn over here and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But, like, you, they're not involved in the collectibles. They're just visual things that you find in the world. And that's really fun that way. I like that they pivoted to that because, A, they nearly exhausted all the peripherals except and hardware in Playroom, so much so that they updated it with the Portal and the PSVR 2.
Yeah.
Where here, this allows for a larger scope of characters to get involved with.
Well, not just that,
and deliver sequels if they needed to.
Yeah. So, like, the collectibles in this one are accessories for the bots that you've
played. Yeah, with the gacha machine. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm. So, like, it's still there's still collectibles there, but like you said, instead of collecting like the DualShock 1 through 3 and the, you know, all of that stuff, you are collecting accessories for the themed bots. So,
yeah, I mean, like throughout the world, like in the previous game, like you would go and like you found a thing, and like, hey, it's the move controller, woo! You know, where like now it's like, holy crap, it's, you know, it's Alucard from Castlevania, like sick. Yeah. So I do quite like that as a different, as a pivot as well. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, like, is it like, I can see, I feel like I'm, it's challenging, Max, with a game like this where I feel
Do you want to talk about the big elephant in the room, which is the price tag attached?
Well, so we'll get into that in a sec, because what I was going to say is, like, it's fine, it's very difficult for me to discuss a game like Astrobot. Mostly because apart from the couple of things that we're about to mention, I have no issue with this game.
Mm.
So like most review conversations are like critique, and we find the bits and we this and that and the other and the other. Where I'm sitting here, I'm like, how many different ways can I explain this game is almost perfect?
Mm.
So, but let's get into our couple of things that like niggle us. So one of the things you mentioned, as you just highlighted, is the price point. So this is a full priced title. So it's 109
digitally. Most places are stocking it for $89 physical.
Now, having experienced it and all the other emotions that have come with it, would I pay that? I'd find a way. But if I didn't have like direct access to that amount of money, it does become a barrier pretty quick.
Mm.
What's your stance?
So it's obviously a hard sell to try and convince people that the free title that they were given is now a full priced game.
Yeah.
Because they've got in their mind of, hey, this is kind of a, this was a tech demo to begin with, and now we're over here and they want AAA money for it. I feel that $109, which is the digital price point for it, is too much. $89 seems more reasonable.
Yeah.
Like, it does seem more reasonable. And, like, I really enjoyed my time with this game. But it's one of those, you know, what do you equate your time value to be? Like,
exactly.
It is a shorter title. It takes about 15 to 20 hours to beat. And that was like platinum.
Well, because both you and I have got the platinum, so like
it's about, you know, it's not a long game. It's just one of those things of like, you know, maybe this should have been like a $60 title.
Mm. Yeah, I would agree. Maybe not 60, because in Australian dollars, like I would probably say, yeah, around that 70 to 80, I think would probably be a fair space, which would put it around about a, you know, with the $70 in the US, I'd put it around a $40, $50 title, which I think is probably a more accurate representation of like how it should go. I think there's enough here for some replayability if you wanted to. I think, like, the lack of the time trials is probably the other little critique that you would give it. I didn't really do them. However, that does prevent its replayability.
Yeah. That was the one big thing that was missing from this that was in Playroom was the time trial levels. There are levels that would be perfect for time trial modes.
Mm.
They're just not there for some reason, which is a real shame because I did really enjoy those levels. And it does add that extra playability of, there's leaderboards, and you can challenge your friends, and it has that sticking power. Whereas here, there are levels that feel like they are designed to be played as time trials, but they are just not time trialed. Mm.
That's not to say that that can't be altered in the future as well. Mm. It could certainly still happen. But yeah, look, outside of that, said for myself.
They turn around, there's a day one patch, they drop it, it's fucking time trials. Yeah. They just wanted everyone to experience at the same time.
Yeah, which is fair.
Then I have to post a retraction video.
Well, it makes sense though, right? Because the leaderboards are full of people like us who've played it before release. Like, that's a bit rude, you know? So I understand that. But yeah, look, outside of that price point, I can't really fault it in any other way. Like, as I said, it ticks so many boxes. Well, all right. I think we've hit kind of everything, Max, before we get into spoiler territory. The spoiler discussion is something we'll be doing at a later date. Those final thoughts, we've expanded on a little bit. Anything that you haven't touched upon that you want to mention?
I don't think so. I think we covered it pretty well now that we've brought up like the time trial stuff. But it's just one of those things, like, if you are, like, as much of a cop-out as it sounds, like, if you are a fan of 3D Mario games, this is going to be a perfect play. Like, it really is. If you've got young kids who are just starting out, this is a great way to start them off. It is that low stakes, but difficult enough to teach them some precision platforming. It's a nice entry point for that, and it really is a fun, charming sequel to what was originally intended to be nothing more than a tech demo.
Yeah. So, look, as I always do when it comes to our reviews, and it's essentially why you come here, right? Like, it's to talk about like our subjective experience, right? So, as I mentioned, I spent a lot of this time with my son. I don't live with my son. My son lives with his mum predominantly the time. So the time that we do share, I ensure that it is special. And I was very lucky that just like he happened to be here when the Spider-Man 2 code came through, and he's a huge Spider-Man fan. It's almost like PlayStation know. Like, they knew I had my son, and they knew that he and I would enjoy playing this together on Father's Day weekend, by the way. Like, we spent the weekend together playing Astrobot, and as I mentioned, like, I got to, you know, share old franchises and, you know, things that I may have forgotten about, that I was like, oh yeah, that's this person. And then when we got their collectible, I explained, you know, that's what that sword is, or that's Solid Snake, and this is why he has a cardboard box. So it's well documented my love for God of War specifically, like 2018 Ragnarok, as well as the old ones, but more predominantly got Ragnarok in 2018. My son, out of nowhere, decided to play Ragnarok recently. He played it, finished it, did New Game Plus, murdered it. It was amazing. Very proud. So, like, he enjoys it, but he also knows how much God of War means to me. So it was lovely to be able to play levels and see, you know, characters from that franchise, for him to get excited and to know their names and to share with me and connect with me and me to him through, you know, a different delivery method of a franchise that literally changed my life with God of War 2018. So to have a new way to connect with my son through that is unmatched. And I know very well that, as I said, like, my overall thoughts on Astrobot are heavily tainted by the emotional connection that I will be having with this game, and that because of how I was lucky enough to share it with my son. But then you look from the objective facts, it's just brilliant. And then you add the extra layer of, you know, like, there have been times he and I have, you know, like yourself, Max, James and I have played all of the Paw Patrol games. I don't have a sentimental connection to them. Most of them are poo. But like when you've got a great game and you've got a great couch co-op partner, like I truly believe in the same way that when we did Spider-Man together, like PlayStation have allowed my son and I to create cool memories. And like for that, I'm forever grateful.
So today I was playing with Hadley again today, and we're sitting down and she's doing her thing. And there's a bit that allows you to take photos and stuff. There's an area where you unlock that and you can do all kinds of stuff. She's looking at me, she's playing around in the area. She's like, "Dad, this is my house." Okay. And she's there's like a little metal bugs flying like crawling on the ground, and she's just smacking the shit out of them. I'm like, "Why are you attacking the bugs?" She's like, "I don't like bugs in my house." I'm like, "That's fair, that makes sense." And she's like, "Oh, do you want to have a turn down?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I want to try that level that we were having a bit of trouble with." And she's like, "Oh, Dad, I still don't think you can do it." She's like, zero faith in it. She's like, "I'll get you there." She runs up and she activates the bot so they create their ladder, and she runs up and she's like, "All right, Dad, here you go." And I missed the first jump. And she's like, "See, Dad, I told you couldn't do it." And she controller back off me and went back to doing what she was doing. And I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. No worries. Thanks." So it's really been so much fun having, because like, when she wants to play Paw Patrol together, it's just like, "Oh, really?" Mm. And now she's like, hey, Dad, can we play the Astro Boy game?" I'm like, "Yes, we can play Astro Boy.
Astro Boy's a different trademark, Hadley. That's not how this works.
I'm like, "It's Astro Bot." And she's like, "Oh, okay. Can we play the bot game?" I'm like, "Yeah, we can play the bot game." Yeah. So every day, Nash, like, when we play in that bot game, I'm like, "Just, your brother's awake." And then as soon as I put in bed, she's like, "It's a bot game. Bot game time. Play the bot game."
Yeah. I can assure you, when my son gets here next, it'll be Astro Bot.
And then this afternoon, I'm like, "Oh, it's time to turn it off. Your brother's woken up." She's like, "Or you could watch him and I will keep playing the bot game."
Yeah.
So, you know, just from that, it's been really fun having something to enjoy with her, because she's just starting out.
Yeah. And you mentioned this at the start, like, this is a genre that PlayStation have tried to dip their toes in the past, where they're predominantly with Little Big Planet, right? And Little Big Planet and Astro Bot, they share a lot of similarities, right? Sackboy, who's, where is he? Oh, I've moved him. He's on the shelf down there now. There he is. Like, he is generic enough as Astrobot, so he can be skinned in 1,000 different ways. I have there's a figure in my lounge room of Sackboy dressed as Kratos, right? So like, they tried in Sackboy, they weren't able to get it, but credit to the team as a larger team to go, no, there's something here. And they reskinned it, they reworked it, they made Astrobot and nailed it, delivered. Like, they found a way to breach, you know, it's what Nintendo does well. They know how to go to the kids and the older folk. Those in the middle will play your Call of Duties or whatever. But if you can get these two together, that's why the Wii was successful. Pardon me. You know, and PlayStation is known, predominantly as the sad dad, third person over the shoulder action adventure console. And they did that. They just tied it in with kid stuff. And it's perfect. Love it. I don't know what else I can say. It's game fucking rules. Go buy it. Like, if you haven't bought it, go buy it. How are you doing? Go play it now. If you have a kid, go buy it. If you don't have a kid, buy it. And then save it when you do have a kid. Because then, like, just like when people go back and play old Mario games with their kids to sort of show that nostalgia, you can do that here. This game is brilliant for that.
It really is.
Anyways, that does bring us to the end of our review of Astro Bot. Thank you once again to the team over at PlayStation Australia for providing us the review code, allowing us to get this title early, and also, you know, as I said, shamelessly share this with our children, because it's awesome. Like, thank you.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, if I didn't have a kid, this game would still be great. But, you know, we're very lucky. If you've enjoyed what we've bullshitted about here today, you can check out our weekly PlayStation podcast each and every week. Max and myself, we tackle all the things PlayStation and for the players, the Popsy PlayStation podcast every Monday morning, podcast services, YouTubes, all over the place. It's a ton. It's great. You know, how many years we got in the biz? Like 12 years combined? 12-ish, 13 years combined in the Australian games industry, playing PlayStation for forever. Show's jam full of personality. It's incredible. But until the next time, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was Astrobot.